Blog Talk Radio.
Angie Winan, One, The Love Journey, The Lord's Prayer.
I know you know the story when the disciples asked the Lord how they should pray. I wasn't there, but I can't imagine that they may have sounded something like this. The Lord told them. God bless you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And that was Angie Winans, The Lord's Prayer. Ooh. We're going to get ready and go within, recognizing that there is power in being intentional about the breath. I tell you, there is power in the breath, family. And so in this right now moment, I want you to become still and be very, very intentional as we recognize that there is only one power and one presence in this whole universe. And on this line, we recognize that great spirit is God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And so as we begin to breathe this morning, I want you to take in a deep breath, breathing in through the nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight, remembering to breathe deep into the diaphragm, remembering to breathe into the heart, because the heart has wisdom. And I want you to release through the nose. Just breathe today, family. I just want you to breathe today. There is power in the breath. And so in this right now moment, as we invite the divine presence into our life, into this moment, in the collective consciousness of this energy, in this right now moment, I just want you to be still. And know that I am God. Breathe, family. Let's breathe. And release. There is power in the breath, family. I want you to breathe, family. Let's breathe. And release. Be still and know that I am, that I am God. Breathe, the family, let's breathe. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family, just breathe. And release. Last time, be still that I am God. Breathe. And release. Divine Mother, Father, God, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Precious and Holy One, the One that is the One. Come, Holy Spirit. As I invite and invoke your presence into this right now moment, I give thanks for the presence of you in this call right now, God, asking that you speak to somebody's mind today, God. Speak to somebody's heart. Father God, I come before you today asking that every word of my mouth and every meditation of my heart, oh, will be absolutely acceptable in thy sight. Come, Holy Spirit. Mother God, I ask you to nourish the very presence of the words that I speak, that I may speak to your children today, Mother God. I just give thanks for the energetic expression of you in us right now as I honor the presence of the many mothers, Mother Nature, Mother Earth, the great grandmothers and grands, and as I honor the Father, Father Sky, and our greats and grands, as we honor the presence of those that came before us this morning, we give thanks, Holy Spirit, for this opportunity to come together in one mind, one spirit, to speak your name this morning, God, to speak your name. And even though you're known by many names, great spirit, we thank you for the energetic expression of your presence of love. And so today, God, we just absolutely open our heart space and say thank you. No matter what the situation, God, we just say thank you. No matter what the finances, we say thank you. Even if our car is doing what they do, God, we just say thank you, God. Our children, our spouses. We just open our hearts to the presence of you and just say thank you. As we surrender to the knowing that when we're down to nothing, God, you're always up to something, Holy Spirit. And that you always provide, God. And so as we come before you today, knowing that we can eat, think, drink from your unlimited bounty of your goodness in every area of our life, we just say thank you, God. Thank you for your bounty of love that always shows up in our life, God. We thank you for the bounty of the unlimited times that the sun shines on us. And we didn't stop to say thank you, Son. We give thanks for the unlimited times that the moon reared this beautiful presence in. We didn't honor it. We thank you for the elements in the earth and how many times we have not honored the energy of Mother Earth, Mother Nature. Thank you for the gift of friendships. We thank you for our parents. We thank you for our children. We thank you even when our spouses and children are not showing up exactly the way we would love to. We know it's just another expression of the journey. And so today we give thanks for the beauty and the gift of a relationship. We thank you for our children who are just trying to figure this thing out themselves. We give thanks for the bank account that we know that is attached to the unlimited bounty of your finances, God. We give thanks knowing that there is nothing to concern ourselves with because you are always present even in our finances, God. We give thanks for our beautiful homes, beautiful opportunities, next level living. We give thanks for the courage to live the dream that you have so eloquently placed inside our heart today, God. Somebody's leaving a job this week, God, and I just want you to bless their journey, God. I want you to bless their comings and their goings, God. Somebody said yes to you today, God, and I just want you to do your will in their journey, God. I just want you to bless it, ease and elegance and grace, Holy Spirit, as they transition from that space into the space of growing and expansion and knowing that you are all that they will ever need, God. I'm asking for a special blessing over their minds today, God. I'm asking for a special blessing over her heart today, God. I'm asking for a special blessing over her hands today, God. And that you will continue to give her the courage to say yes, knowing that you're going to do the rest. When we say yes, you do the rest. Come on, Holy Spirit, because you don't need our you don't need our help. You just need our permission this morning. So today, God, collectively in the collective consciousness of this space, we come together in one mind saying yes to your unlimited bounty, your unlimited good, your unlimited love that pours upon us each and every day, God. And so today, I just got one thing to say. I'm just one grateful somebody. Thank you, God. I'm just one grateful somebody. Thank you, God. Thank you for each and every person under the sound of my voice, God. As you anoint this call with fresh anointing, I give thanks for the pressure of the gift. Call us. In an unlimited gratitude, I say, thank you, God. Amen, amen, amen. Whew, good morning, good morning, good morning. You are tuned into the Love Journey. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, God. Good morning to the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds, the sky. Good morning to the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees, the land, the soil, the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom. Good morning, atmosphere. Good morning to the earth, wind, the fire, the water, the ethers. Good morning, good morning, good morning, universe. And good morning to our most beneficent angelic family. Good morning, angels, as you come and as we invite and invoke your presence. Good morning, angels. Good morning, archangels, as we invite and invoke you into this call this morning. And good morning to our ascended masters as we invoke their presence this morning and invite them. We also give thanks for our master guides and spirit guides as we invite the presence of the unseen committee this morning. We say good morning, good morning, good morning. And we stop to bring in the ancestors honoring the presence of those who have walked this journey way before us this morning. We just give thanks for the journey. We give thanks for the legacy they left called us this morning. Good morning, ancestors. And I just honor the presence of Miss Anastasia McAdoo. I just thank you, Mom, for being the gift and the anchor and the vehicle that assisted me into the planet. And so today, I just say thank you, Mom. Sometimes we don't know how to say and appreciate the gift of motherhood, take it for granted. And so today, Mom, I just thank you for being who you are and who you were in my life, even when I didn't understand. Thank you. Good morning to Miss Colette Grant, who always midwifed this call. Amazing gift to the planet. Thank you for showing up and being the wind beneath my wings. And then to all of your ancestors, as you speak their names this morning in your heart and your mind, and even if your words. And I'm so grateful for your ancestors that led me to be in this space with you this morning. Good morning to your ancestors, known and unknown ancestors. We invite and invoke your presence, giving, paying all homage to the presence of you this morning. And as we stop and honor the presence and the divine being of ourselves, the gift that we are. In every breath that we take to walk this planet in the gift of us, I want you to just stop and say, thank you for the presence of me right now. The art of being me. Yes, did you know you are a walking embodiment of art? And I just want you to say thank you. Thank you for being you. Because today you are absolutely worthy just because you are. Just because you are. And as we send love into our descendants this morning, good morning to our those who will come behind us. I'm just absolutely grateful for those who will come behind us, because the prayers, the work, the energy that you put into shifting and elevation will definitely make a difference in those who will come behind us. So we give thanks for our descendants. So as you honor life this morning, good morning, family. You tuned in to The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram, and we're going to move right into the science of the mind. Today's lesson is, I am worthy. I don't know what it's going to say, but I tell you, I already feel like I could have wrote it. I am worthy. Yogi Bhajan once said, if you are willing to look at another person's behavior towards you as a reflection of the state of their relationship with themselves rather than a statement about your value as a person, then you will, over a period of time, cease to react at all. Whew, I could drop the mic on that one just alone, right? How many times have we looked at another's behavior toward us as a reflection of our value? Because we're always seeking validation outside ourselves. You know, validation is for parking. I'm not reading. This is just coming from me right now, because that was such a powerful quote. Because we're always looking for somebody to validate us. I'm going to say it again. Yogi Bhajan said, if you are willing to look at another person's behavior towards you as a reflection of the state of their relationship with themselves rather than a statement about your value as a person, then you will, over a period of time, cease to react at all. That's something I want you to marinate on, that idea. Just marinate. Ernest Holmes once said in a book called Questions and Answers on the Science of the Mind, on page 19, he said, divine self-confidence is a result of knowledge that the self is governed, protected, and sustained by spirit. Come on, God. Sometimes my stories of being unworthy keep me from a life that is thriving. I have habitually fallen into thoughts that want me to focus on how I am not enough and will never be enough. Sometimes we fall into the story because maybe something someone said. Thank goodness for the love journey. Thank goodness for Janine. Thank goodness for the science of the mind has taught us not to believe everything I think. Come on. What cues? While cues to think these unworthy thoughts. All right. While these cues to think these unworthy thoughts are often sourced from inside of us, I also notice that I can get caught up in spending a lot of time making meaning about other people's behavior toward me. How many times do we sit and try to play it over in our mind over and over and over and over and over again? Additionally, like everyone else, I've had to people tell me that they just plain don't like me or have been frustrated by my words or behavior. When faced with internal or external criticism or plain dislike of me, I feel my heart shut down. But over the years, I've discovered that the one shutting my heart down is me, and the only one who can revive it is also me. So therefore, I have discovered that the way back into my heart after such an interaction has to do with an honest assessment of any mistakes I've made, learning from them, making amends when and if I can, forgiving and recognizing that the person who's trying to make me wrong may really be talking about themselves. All of this leads back into my compassion for myself and my criticizing. You see, my work always is to restore myself to myself. Let me say that again. Y'all didn't hear me. My work is always to restore myself to myself. You see, this allows me to rediscover my divine nature. I am that which the divine is, and therefore inherently worthy. Somebody ought to say amen to that. Let me say that again. Our work is to restore ourselves back to ourselves, right? So this allows us to rediscover our divine nature. Because I am and you are that which the divine is and therefore inherently worthy. I want to tell you today I stopped by this love journey to remind you, you worthy. Today's affirmation is I breathe through my compassionate heart and remember the divine as me is me. I am worthy. Somebody ought to say amen. Let's do it again. I breathe through my compassionate heart and remember the divine as me is me, I am worthy. I don't know, but if something happened in my molecules just reading this morning, knowing that I am worthy just because I am. You are worthy just because you are. Stop playing the words that somebody told you over and over in your mind. Because if they really understood who you were, they would understand that you were the divine reflection. Come on, somebody, of themselves. And so I came to remind you today that all that criticizing and all that complaining and all the stuff that they're saying to you is really an internal conversation they're projecting out into you. It's their unworthy thoughts that's sourcing up. I remember speaking to a guy one day, and I just didn't understand why you have to keep saying what you're saying and doing what you're doing. And he said to me something that made me stop in my tracks. Have you ever thought that maybe I just didn't feel worthy of you? I was like, wow. And it wasn't nothing else I could say. sometimes all that frustration and all the things that you hear coming out their mouth is their unworthy thoughts of themselves. Stop playing the conversation in your mind. I'm speaking to somebody today. I hear it. I remind you today that you're already worthy. Somebody needs to know you are already worthy, worthy and deserving. Somebody needs to hear that today. I'm super excited because you know how you hear something and you want to share it. You know, sometimes some things are so good that you can't keep it to yourself. So I was laying in the bed on Sunday morning and I listened to Super Soul Sunday and it was really, really good. It was Gary Zukav. And this is the 25th anniversary of the Seat of the Soul. And so it was really powerful. And when that went off, I just happened to scroll and I saw this preacher from Houston named Keon. Had never heard of him before. But when I tell you he lit my soul on fire, I wanted to share him with you this morning. And this conversation that he is going to be sharing with us on this day, I promise you, it's going to change your life. Because you're going to really see that no matter what you're going through, no matter where you are in this process of life, that we are so supported. You know, I'm just so grateful. I just woke up this morning with a grateful heart. I'm just one grateful somebody. You know, I sit and I think about my mentors, Reverend Ike, Catherine Ponder, Dr. Johnny Coleman, who gave me an understanding of verity and the unlimited resources that the universe loves us so much, Albert Einstein. And then I thought about my girlfriend who called me last night and we were talking and she said, Janine, you're such an embodiment of what it really means to be a feminine woman. I thought that's just like the highest compliment. She said, where did you get that knowledge of the type of woman you are, how you handle your children and your relationship? I said, you'll be surprised where I got it from. I said, the honorable. And when I tell you, Minister Louis Farrakhan, there was no other training, in my opinion, of being a woman and what it really meant to embody the feminine presence of the divine, I heard more powerful than the ministers. And I remember just sitting and going, wow, that's what it means to be a woman. The gift and the scientists that we are. You see, sometimes we don't recognize our own value. The value of being a divine woman is so amazing. I just tell you, but that's going to be another conversation for another day. I feel like a sermon about to come on this value of being a divine woman. I just tell you, it was the minister who honored and gave me that gift. And from there, Queen of Four came into my life. I feel like singing the Commodore song. She made my jagged edge smooth. She made my direction so clear and smooth. I tell you, she was a divine breath of fresh air to be in her presence, to read her books, to become more of what the divine wanted to express as a feminine presence. And then moving along in that area really showed me what it means to be divine as a goddess god on the planet. Grateful for the evolving, the evolution, the understanding who you are as a divine gift. And so I'm going to play this because I'm about to take us on a different conversation than what I wanted us to hear today. I don't know, it's just really powerful when you start to think about who you are and the gift that you are to this planet. You see, we all play a major, major, major role in our gift to the planet. And so many times we We don't recognize our value because we don't see our own greatness. Because a lot of times when we look in the mirror, we hear the conversations that other people have given us, the conditionings and the veils that have been put over our eyes to not really recognize the beauty, the presence, the gift that you are on this planet. I tell you, I had to ask for spiritual 2020 vision to begin to see my own greatness. And I would love to tell you I started out knowing my greatness when I came on this line, but to be honest with you, it's just been a few short months, maybe the year at the most, where I really began to recognize that, you know, Janine, you really got something of value to share to the world. You really are the gift. You really are amazing. You really are a beautiful spirit, gifted and talented and amazing. You see, for so many years, I used to say, God, why you didn't give me no gifts? Where are my gifts? Where are my talents? In this conversation that this young man, this preacher, oh, I love his story. It's called The Pressure of Being Gifted. It's called The Pressure of Being
Holly, would
Gifted.
Would you not say that we just finished one of the most epic sermon series in the history of...
Can I just crawl back in my mother's womb and try this thing over?
I want to say that a lot of sad too.
I told Pastor Keon and his wife Felicia that they would never be in a better preaching environment with more hungry people who would be on the edge of their seat, leaned in, and ready for the Word of God than you would be today. So at every location, get on your feet right now and begin to make unprecedented decibels of noise for my friend, a great man of God, the pastor of the Lighthouse Church in Houston, Texas, Pastor Keon Henderson. Y'all show him some love. Come on. Embarrass him. Come on, let's go. It's his first time here. Let him know how we do it in Carolina and Toronto and Virginia. Come on, let's go, let's go. And Florida, let's go. Let's have some church. Welcome, Pastor Keon. We love you, man.
Listen, before you sit down, I just want to thank God for one of the greatest men I've ever met in my life. And he makes me feel like Nicodemus in the book of John, chapter 3, when he says to Jesus, can I just crawl back in my mother's womb and try this thing over? You know, Pastor Steve is just a phenomenal guy. Come on, put your hands together and praise God for him. He just... What Pastor Steve and Holly have done, and I think Pastor Steve, he'll be 16 this year. Is that right? He's 16 this year. He's done so phenomenal into all the campuses over, I think it's like 17. I got some of them memorized. I know one is in Concord. Tell me where the rest are. New Zealand, Canada, Toronto. I know is one there. I think you guys are going to even put a church in hell. Is that about right? Get everybody saved down there? Yeah. To all of the campuses there, Lake Norman, wherever you guys are, we bring you and greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, and Raleigh and Roanoke and all of the different places you all have. It's just so phenomenal to see all of you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You know, I want to use a big word or a regular word? I'm just shocked at what you guys have been able to do. It's just an enormous, enormous task to be one of the greatest churches in the world and to have one of the greatest pastors in the world. And this church is extremely gifted. Would you agree with that? Extremely gifted.
Yes, yes.
The way you guys, we've been here early and the sound check and all of that kind of stuff is just amazing. What you guys do to prepare for every worship service. But let me tell you, with being gifted comes pressure. And you know, Pastor Steve is like a rock star. You know, he plays the guitar and he dresses well and he's strong and he's got confidence and he'll fight anybody. Did you know that? I know he's saved and he loves the Lord, but he's tough and and he's everything, and yet many of you in this room will never know how much pressure it is to be him. That sometimes you'll look at a person from the outside and you'll wish that you had what they had, and you'd wish that you were where they were. But let me tell you, the easiest part of being gifted is being gifted. The hardest part is in the company of people who don't have what you have.
Come on.
And it's going to be difficult for you, because I believe that this is what God does. I believe this with my whole heart. I believe that God introduces you to people who look like you will eventually look. That's the only purpose he has for bringing people in our lives. See, I haven't met everybody you've met, and you haven't met everybody I've met, because all of the people that we've met, God's going to use to shape our life. And every time you're in the presence of a great person, God has given you a snapshot of what you're going to look like.
Come on, God.
So every time Pastor Steve stands here, or Holly stands here, or whomever stands in this place, and you admire them and you're looking at them, what God is basically saying is, listen, I'm showing you what you're going to look like. And let me tell you, how many anybody has a dream? Anybody have a dream in here today? Let me tell you, a dream is nothing more than a thought asking for permission to live. So whenever you have a dream, that's something that God put in your head, and it is actually asking for permission to live. Now, everybody in this room is gifted. Paul even says to every one of us, there's given a measure of grace. Every person in here has a gift. And you may not have the gift I have, and I may not have the gift that you have, but we all have gifts. And the greatest thing about life and relationships is that we don't all need the same gifts. I say this to our staff all the time. If I can do what you can do and you can do what I can do, then one of us is irrelevant. You don't want everybody in your life to be able to do the same thing. You don't want everybody in your life to have the same talents. You don't want everybody in your life to have the same income bracket. You need some people who are behind you, and you need some people in front of you, because you need people pushing you and you need people pulling you.
Come on.
So the Bible lets us know to every man is given a measure of grace, and every person in this place has a gift today. But I want to let you know that being gifted is not easy. Being gifted is not easy. It is one of the most difficult things you'll ever do. And I want to take you to a story right in the Bible. If you have your Bibles, it's in the book of Genesis chapter 25. And we're going to start commence our discussion right around verse 20, 21, if you want to, 22, 23. It's a whole story. But the Bible is talking about this guy named Isaac. Anybody ever heard of Isaac? Isaac
is
this young guy who was born to an old mother. Now, I know if there's any women in here, if I know you glad your name is not Sarah, because you would have had to have a baby at 90. Now, how many women say it was difficult at 25? It was difficult at 25. Can you imagine holding a baby in your stomach with 90-year-old hips? Could you imagine
it?
I mean, could you imagine when he was born, his mother and father was already too old to pick him up? You know, when he was born, he had to learn how to walk. Him and his father were at the same stage. His daddy stopped walking and he was starting. They were just looking at each other. His head was just a little looser because he was a baby, and his dad, his head was loose because he was old, and everybody was looking at each other and saying, you look like me. I had hair, but I don't. And the baby's looking at daddy saying, I don't have either, but I will. And they're just looking at each other, and they look like each other, and they're sitting there, and you got one too old to walk and one too young to walk. And you've got this baby and this father who got the discussion, and you understand that when Isaac is born to his father, he goes on and produces with his wife Rebecca, and they have two sons. One name is Jacob and the other is Esau. How many of you ever heard that story? And it's a story about two twins who were in their mother's womb. And let me tell you, Jacob and Esau were the Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen of their day. They were the kids that grew up in the spotlight. You know, it's hard to grow up in the spotlight. You see, those of you all who will be famous one day and who will be wealthy one day and who will go on to do great things one day, you should be grateful that at this present stage in your life that nobody knows you, because you're typically dumb early. Right? Anybody want to be honest? Some of the craziest things you've ever done in your life, you did it in high school and you did it in college. And the hardest part about being gifted is that people find out about the gift early. And so now they have a label on you that because you are gifted, that you should be perfect. But let me tell you something, and don't you ever forget this. God does not call qualified people. Don't you ever forget this. God never calls qualified people. He simply qualifies those whom he calls.
Yes, yes, yes.
So if you think you have to be good for God to use you, if you think you have to be perfect for God to use you, if you think you need to already be at the upper echelon of life in order for God to use you, let me just bust your bubble and break that ceiling over your life now. God is looking for crazy, deranged, mixed up, confused people so that he can put his hand on you. And can I step down here like Pastor Steve does? The reason why he wants to put his hand on you is he doesn't want anybody else to touch you so that when you finally become great, nobody else has fingerprints on you. So when God does the forensics of your life, nobody will be able to say, if it wasn't for me, she wouldn't have been there. If it wasn't for me, he wouldn't be there. God, he will leave you all alone so you'll have one testimony. If it had not been for God in my life, I would not be where I am. Give your neighbor a high five and say, I'm not perfect,
I
am gifted.
But
sometimes I have bad thoughts, but I am gifted. Sometimes I say the wrong things, but I am
gifted.
Sometimes I don't come to church every Sunday.
I am gifted.
But I'm gifted. Somebody give God praise in this place. In fact, the earlier you find out your gift, the more difficult it is. People, you know, you go to school and you go to college and everybody's trying to help you find your purpose. But see, the problem with finding your purpose early is you never get to make mistakes. It is. She said, that's the word right there. It absolutely is. You find out your purpose early. And see, I was preaching at 14. So, you know, having this much swag at 14, that's not... You understand what I'm saying, don't you? I mean, I was this cool when I was born. Well, I was born, I gave my mama a high five. I was cool when I got here. I was preaching at 14 years old. So here I am in high school, 14 years old, the most swagged out kid in school. I don't understand why you all are laughing. This is like a true story. Like, had so much swag. I was a basketball player, starting shooting guard, but I'm a preacher. So when you have this much swag, ladies like you. I can't help that. Not my fault. I mean, I'm 6'4". I'm about right now, I'm about 210 pounds, but then I was about 100, soaking wet with rocks in my pocket with weighted shoes on. And so here I am, a basketball player and a preacher. So every time I try to talk to a girl, this is what she's saying. Ain't you a preacher? Oh. Now she's going to expect me to be holy, and I'm not. The earlier you find out your gift, the more difficult it is. See, that's why you got to thank God for your journey. That's why you got to thank God that sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down and sometimes you're in and sometimes you're out. Sometimes you know where you're going and sometimes you're confused, because all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Somebody say, God, send it all to me. God, send it all to me. Every valley has a purpose. Every mountain has a purpose. Every struggle has a purpose. Every pain has a purpose. Every friend has a purpose, and every hater has a purpose. And God is going to use everything in your life to get you where he wants you to be. And I know I'm talking to several of you today, because I can look in your face and tell you were marked since you were born. You were born to be great, and everything in your life has tried to impede that progress. You were born to be phenomenal, and you continue to be. Have you ever met people and gave them good news and say, this is what God is getting ready to do for me, and they try to beat you to it? Well, let me tell you what God is doing. This is not your moment. I'm trying to tell you what God is doing in my life, and you're trying to one-up me by telling me. If you want to start a good moment about God, initiate your conversation tomorrow. Today is my good moment. But see, the problem with being gifted is that gifted people often choose people to befriend who are not gifted, because you think it's your job to save everybody, and you feel sorry for people, and you end up spending your gifted life with people who have no gift. And now you are exhausted, because you're trying to lift everybody up, and you're trying to encourage everybody, and you're trying to get everybody to the Lord, and you're trying to get everybody encouraged. And now, after you've encouraged them, what do you have left for yourself? Because the fallacy of the gifted is we're always giving our gift away. And if I could label this sermon and call it anything, I would call it the pressure of being gifted. That you walk around all day despondent and confused, because how many of you know what it feels like to give everything you have to somebody and they don't give it back to you in return? It's like Paul when he went down to fix that fire and the Bible says that his hand was bitten by a snake. Have you ever been bitten trying to help somebody? He goes down there and he bites it. But let me tell you, the venom does not enter into his veins, because let me tell you, God has a protection over people who have enough heart and enough sincerity to be there for people who don't deserve it and to be there for people who don't need it. Paul survives the snake bite. And I tell you that anything that bites you because you are anointed and gifted, you are a survivor. Give everybody a high five. You can reach and say, I'm a survivor. Gifted people make mistakes. Thomas Edison, he tried 10,000 times to get the light bulb correct. 10,000 times. 10,000 times. It takes a while. Everybody say it takes a while.
It takes a while.
You know, when I first moved to Houston, I'm from Gary, Indiana. I'm from a small town. I'm from Gary. Who? Anybody else from Gary? Because you from? Oh, you've been there. Oh, Indiana. What part of Indiana? Indianapolis. It's about 2 hours away from where I'm born and raised. And I grew up in Gary, Indiana. Now, the unemployment rate in Gary, Indiana was 40% when I was growing up. The average age on the street, Ellsworth Place, where I grew up, the average age of a young African-American man was 21. That means I should have been dead 14 years ago. My first friend was killed when I was in the sixth grade, shot in the head right on the street that I grew up on. I saw drugs growing up. I saw all kinds of things growing up, and I don't know how I made it out. I was born to a mother who had four children and raised us in a 600 square foot apartment, two bedrooms. My sisters, all four of us, three sisters and myself, shared one bedroom. We had one bed on the floor, another bunk bed here, and then another bed nailed to the top of the wall. And my oldest sister slept in there. It was about 6 inches between her and the ceiling, so she had to roll out of bed because she couldn't sit up. And we had one dresser drawer in the corner, and since it was three dressers and it was all girls, my oldest sister had the top one, my middle sister had the middle one, my younger sister had the other one, and my clothes, the ones that I had, were on the floor. And my sister and I, since we're so close in age, I'm Keon, she's Kiana, and I'm 36 and she's 34, we shared the same clothes. We shared the same bath water. She took a bath in the water, and then I would come in. And yes, we did share the same clothes, but I did not dress like a girl. So get that out of your mind right now. She dressed like a boy. I saw you thinking it. I had to get you together right here in the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, let me give you a T-shirt for thinking like that. And all of that, all of what God has done in our life right now, and all of the members that we have, and the businesses that my wife and I own, and everything that we've been able to accomplish, and the 30 acres that we have, and this company that we started, and all of that, and all of our children, all of that was in that 600 square foot bedroom apartment. All of that.
Come on,
because
Dad,
let me tell you something, it does not matter how you start. The only thing matters is how you finish. And I prophesy and speak to somebody in this place today that you are no longer going to judge what God is getting ready to do in your life because of where you are right now. God is getting ready to do a new thing in your life and get ready to take you to the next level. As a matter of fact, I want you to look down your row and just tell everybody you can see, get ready, get ready, get ready. Tell them, get ready. Because when I get here next Sunday, I'm not even going to be the same person I am today. You better get ready. And listen, let me tell you something. Never water yourself down, because people cannot handle you at 100 proof. You be who you are. You say what you want to say. You become what you want to become. And I tell you today, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard.
Have not
and
heard.
It's not even yet appeared what God is going to do with your life.
Come on, come on.
But never forget this. You are born looking like your daddy, but you will die looking like your decisions. And if you could just make some different decisions, you will look like what you chose. Somebody shout, I'm about to make different choices.
I'm making different choices.
Negative to myself. I'm going to stop letting negative people speak to me. As a matter of fact, the next time somebody negative comes up to you, tell them these words: leave me alone. I don't have energy or space in my head for you to tell me what I'm not going to do. I already know what I can't do. I'm trying to figure out what I can do, and I need to get around people who can see in me what I cannot see in myself.
See in myself.
It's difficult being gifted.
Being gifted, yes.
The difficulties of being gifted, it is so hard. It is so hard. It is not easy. Everybody wants a gift, but here's the problem with a gift. You have to learn how to open it.
Wow.
I remember one time Pastor Steve bought me a gift, and he got me a gift, and, you know, Pastor Steve is a class A guy. He's phenomenal. See, if I had purchased you a gift, you rip the paper off. Pastor Steve bought me a gift. The paper was so good, I couldn't rip it. I wasn't used to that. Nobody had ever gotten me a gift like that. And I went to rip the paper, and it wouldn't rip. And then I said, okay, well, let me just slide it off. Because nice gifts have to be opened carefully. Stop surrounding yourself with people who handle you any kind of way. Or just trying to rip into you and trying to find what's inside of you. Touch somebody and say, just handle me with care. Just handle me with care.
Handle me with care.
I got a gift inside of me, and it just can't be handled by anybody any kind of way. You know, the Bible says that the rejected stone eventually became the chief cornerstone. You see, to every person in here that has been rejected, the only reason why they rejected you is because they didn't know where you fit. But let me tell you something. How many of you all have ever driven past a nice car dealership and said, one day I want one of those? You didn't get it, but you even went up there and you stopped and you sat in it, acting like you could afford it. Am I the only one? I have gone to the dealership and sat in it and acted like I could afford it, and the people will come over and say, may I help you? I say, no, I'm not ready. You know, that's how you treat them when you can't afford it, but you just act, be gone and leave me. Leave me, I'm not ready. So I would go and sit down on the car, and I would look at it, and I knew I couldn't afford it, but they didn't know. Because you have to act like you can. Come on. You got to act like you can. And so I was sitting there and with the hopes and the dreams that one day I would be able to own what it is that I saw, but I understood that there is a time. And so I had to leave. And I didn't get the car. I had to go. I wanted it. I rejected the car. Watch this. People every day reject things they cannot afford.
Come on now.
When they rejected you, it didn't mean that you were valueless. It meant that they recognized they could not afford you.
Come on.
So they left you.
Come on.
And you misinterpreted their exit as an admission that you were worthless. But it was actually an admission on their part that you were priceless.
Come on, come on, come on now, Kia. Come on, Reverend Kia.
You got to change the way you see yourself, because if you don't change the way you see yourself, you have to teach people how to treat you.
Got to teach people how to treat you. I could appreciate
this one,
that.
Rebecca, she's pregnant with twins. She's got two babies inside of her. She's been asking God for a baby for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you this, if it takes 20 years, I would just stop asking. I'm from Gary, Indiana. I remember I moved to Houston, Texas, and my wife, Felicia, who's sitting over there, wave your hand, honey, so they can see you. My wife is sitting over there. That's been my girl for 10 years. And I moved to Houston. Now, she's from Houston. I'm from Gary. When we say down the street, and Gary, we really mean like over there, you know, right over there where that lady in the white shirt is. That's down the street. But Houston is so big. It's so big. If you've never been to Houston, you can drive 70 miles per hour on the freeway for 70 miles and still be in the city. Okay, when the hurricane that just came, that you guys helped us to help so many people, and we fed over 10,000 people over the last 30 days, and we've given away over $200,000 in clothes and toiletries and all of those kinds of things. Thanks to you and Pastor Steve and other people helping us like that. But when I first got to Houston, I got on the freeway and I was looking for, see, we have inside of the city, we have these easy tags, and you're on the tollway in the city. And so my wife was telling me that you can get this easy tag, because when I first moved there, I didn't know. So I drove through all of the tolls, and then one day I got a bill in the mail for $500. And I said, the devil is a liar. I'm not paying this. That I didn't know that you had to pay to be on the street. Where I come from, the streets are free. They're raggedy, but at least they're free. Give me free raggedy streets over paved streets. And she says, the Easy Tag place is right around the corner. You go get this decal, and it'll bill you automatically on the credit card. So I drove 15 minutes, and I wasn't there. And I drove 20 minutes, Ms. Danielle, and I wasn't there. And I drove 40 minutes, and I called my wife on the phone. I said, woman, you told me that it was around the corner. I have been driving for 40 minutes. She says, where are you? I told her I was at a certain street and a certain intersection, and she's sitting here, her words out of her mouth. She says, oh, you're 5 minutes away. I was getting ready to make a U-turn and go back home. And then that's when God taught me a lesson that you quit about two exits from where you're about to get off. And I want to tell everybody in here, keep on going. Keep driving. I know it's taken a long time, and I know that it has been frustrating and painstaking, but would you help me encourage somebody to say, keep going, brother. Keep going,
keep
sister.
Keep going,
you're
Love Journey family. Keep
God
going.
Is
you're
about
almost
to do
there.
Something great in your life.
God is about to do something great.
It's difficult being gifted.
In your life.
It's difficult. She's got two twins in her, Jacob and Esau. Excuse me. That's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother story. She's got two sons in her, and watch this. They're fighting. They're fighting. One of them is going to serve the other. They're going to serve the other. And Jacob is the greatest one. He's the greatest one but he's the youngest one. He's the greatest, but he's the younger. The Bible says that the older one is going to serve the younger one. Now that doesn't make sense. Are you guys sisters by any chance? And do I have anybody here, two sisters, one older, one younger? Who's in charge? Who's the oldest? You see how that goes? See, you tell her what to do, right? You've always told her what to do because the younger serves the older. But in this story, Jacob becomes the one that serves. Esau's the oldest, but he is serving him. That doesn't make sense. But see, when you're gifted, God breaks protocol. When you're gifted, God changes the order. Let me give you the definition of favor. When God breaks the rules to bless you.
Ooh.
That's what favor is. Favor is when God upsets the protocol and does for you what he doesn't do for anybody else. And you can't explain it. All you can do is say, I'm gifted. I woke up like this. I was born to be great. I can't help it. I didn't ask for it. I didn't petition for it. I didn't politic for it. I just woke up. Great, and the devil is trying to make sure you never realize it, but you are, in spite of what it feels like. And I know it's difficult, but watch this. Jacob is the promised son. Well, if you go back and read a story prior, you start to see that this guy is going through in his house what his father went through in his house. Because his father was also married to a barren woman. Her name was Sarah. And she prayed with her husband for a baby. And they didn't have one until they were almost 100 years old. But Abraham doesn't do what Isaac does. When Abraham wants a child, he goes and sleeps with the handmaid, Hagar, and has a baby. And names him Ishmael. 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 If you go to the Middle East right now, all of the wars that are going on over there in the Gaza Strip and all of the upheaval that's happening between Ishmael and Isaac today. That's why some Muslims are against other Muslims, and that's why some people are against other people, because both of them believe that they are going to be the progenitor of the promise. And so they're fighting for a position. The fight started in Rebecca, and now it is taking place in the world. And they are fighting, and they're jostling,
And now our country has to figure out whose side we're on and where does the capital city belong and is Jerusalem supposed to be here or is it supposed to be there? All because Abraham couldn't wait. And let me tell you, whenever you become impatient, your impatience will give birth to the thing that will fight your promise.
You will give birth.
Ishmael is fighting Isaac. Isaac is the promise, but his impatience caused his promise a problem. I know you want it right now, but don't get in front of God. I know you want to succeed right now, but don't get ahead of God, because whenever you get ahead of God, you give birth to the thing that's going to fight your promise. She's got a fight inside of her. Her two sons are inside of her, and she's feeling insecure, but she's not the only woman who's ever been barren. You do know Samuel's mother was barren. Joseph's mother was barren. Samson's mother was barren. John the Baptist, his mother, was barren. And all of the boys that they had became great men. Because let me tell you, for every person in here who feels barren, the longer the wait, the bigger the gift.
The bigger the bliss. Come on now.
The longer the wait, the bigger the gift.
The bigger
Isaac
the
prayed,
gift.
Said, God, I want you to bless my wife. I want you to bless my wife and want her to have a baby. God says, all right, I'll do it, but there's going to be a dilemma. There's going to be a dilemma. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. They're going to struggle inside of you, and they're going to fight inside of you. And let me tell you, every person in here right now, if you're gifted, there's a fight inside of you. Sometimes you feel good, and sometimes you feel insecure.
Yes.
Is this honest today? Sometimes you feel like you can conquer the world, and sometimes you feel like the world is conquering you.
Come on.
Sometimes you feel like your real friends are your friends, and then sometimes you have to look at them and say, I don't know. And it's not always because they did something to you. It's just that insecurity will rise up and make you question everything that everybody has ever said and everything that everybody has promised. And then when you look back over your life and think about how bad you've been hurt and how many people have lied to you and how many people didn't keep promises, then you start making people who you just met write checks for people you got rid of.
Come on in.
And you become frustrated and you become angry and anxiety begins to sit in and you become frustrated. But let me tell you something. I want you to write this down. Gifts are often accompanied by discomforts.
Woo.
So that's the gift that doesn't rest in the gift and neglect the giver. I'm going to say it again, so I want you to write it down. This will change your life if you use it. Gifts are often accompanied by discomfort so that the gifted does not rest in the gift and neglect the giver. Sometimes God will give you a gift and also give you a problem, so that you won't think that you got the gift without him. Watch this. Ishmael, who is not the promised son, has children. And here Isaac is, who is the promised son, and he has no children. The son who was born illegitimate has all kinds of children. The son that they waited on for 90 years has no children. Let me show you how God will test you. Sometimes God will test you by making sure you fail at the same time your enemy succeeds. Some of you all drove here today. You drove past people washing their cars at home today. You drove past people cutting their grass today. You drove past people, and you know people in your neighborhood, they never go to church. They don't do that God thing. They don't go to that church. They're not going to give the church all of their money. They don't have time to listen to a preacher. They don't have time for God. And here you are. You're here every Sunday and every Saturday. And here you are in this place every weekend giving God all the glory and praise. And you're looking at people who never give him any honor and praise. And sometimes it seems like their life is going good and their children are on the honor roll and their children are gifted and talented and your children are still in the car keys and hopping out of the window. And you brought them to the church saying, Pastor Steve, if you don't pray for these children, I'm going to leave them at church. You said this church is on fire, and so the law is if you take them to the fire station, you can leave them. Here you are gifted, a prayer warrior. You live your life right. You're honorable. You're upstanding. Sometimes life is falling apart for you, and somebody who doesn't even worship God seems like their life is going well, but God is testing you because what they have is fleeting. It will disappear. It will not last. And never forget this. Only what you do for Christ will last. Only what you do for Christ will last. She's battling. Let me tell every gifted person in here as I wrap this up. You're going to always have two battles. You're either going to fight or you're going to be empty. Those are the only two things that gifted people can be. You're either going to have battles or barrenness. And the moment you're filled, you're going to have a fight because the devil's going to try to take everything he gave you. You know what the Bible says? He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The law of superpositioning says that the latter is stronger than the first. Kill, steal, destroy. So superposition says that the last is stronger, which means destruction is greater than death. So what the devil will do, he won't kill you. He'll leave you alive so you'll kill yourself. He'll leave you alive long enough to depress yourself into oblivion. He'll leave you alive long enough to talk yourself into a depression. He'll leave you alive long enough, like the young lady said on the screen, to write a letter and leave to your family and say, I'm leaving because there is nothing else worth living for. But I've got a word for somebody in here today that there was a declaration from God, and he told me to tell you that he is getting ready to lift you up to another dimension. As a matter of fact, I hear God saying, for this church, this is the year of elevation. Who am I talking to in this place today? I don't know who it is, but you're getting ready to go to another level. Eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, and neither has it entered into their hearts of men the good things that God is about to do for you. As a matter of fact, if you are not nailed to the ground, I want you to stand to your feet in this church today and begin to give God a praise in this place. Open up your mouth and let God know that I am done fighting with you. I am done arguing with the devil. I'm done trying to convince people that I'm nice. I'm just going to walk into my divine calling. I'm going to walk into new dimensions. I'm not going to worry about my weight. I'm not going to worry about my shape. I'm not going to worry about my skin color. I'm not going to worry about where I was born. I'm not going to worry about where I came from. I'm just going to walk to my destiny. And if I had somebody in here that will look at somebody and say, I'm not going to leave you behind. When I go, you go. Where I go, I'm going to take you with me. Somebody give God praise in this place. I refuse to be depressed. Shamia, I refuse to have my head hung down. I refuse to be angry. I refuse to be upset. I refuse to let my past tell my future what I'm going to do. Let me tell you something about your past. It haunts you when you decide to leave it. Come here, young lady, if you don't mind. Are you afraid to? Somebody who's not afraid to come up, would you come? Listen, I want you to stand here with me. She represents my past. As long as I'm with her, it'll never haunt me. The moment I walk away from her, follow me. See, this is what your past does. See, as long as you stand shoulder to shoulder with your past, it'll pretend like you're friends. As long as you stand shoulder to shoulder with your past, it'll act like you're covenant brothers and sisters. But when you decide to walk away from it, I want you to stay here. Here's how you get away from your past. You got to go to another level. Thank you. Y'all give her a hand. Thank you so much. Listen. On every mountain, there is a snake line. Let me tell you what that means.
You've been hanging too low.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff to comfort me. Watch this. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. That word table is actually mesa, because the flat part of a mesa, a mountain, is mesa. The Spanish word for table is mesa. He prepares the table. he actually prepared the flat part of the mountain. And so since sheep will eat anything, the shepherd went ahead of them and picked all of the poisonous flowers out of the table. That's what David meant when he said he prepared the table. He went and got rid of all of the stuff because the sheep would have ate anything. So God took all of the poisonous things and only left the good things. And you know, snakes like to climb mountains. But there was a certain point at every mountain called the snake line. And that snake line is this, that snakes can only survive in certain environments. The snake line means that once the snake gets to a certain level, it turns around because the air is too thin. Whenever you have snakes in your life, it's because you're living too low. I want you, as long as those snakes keep following you, I want you to just keep climbing until you get to a level where the snake will turn around. Go back where it came from. Somebody shout elevation. Somebody
elevation.
Shout next level.
Somebody next level.
Now lift those hands and shout up in this place and give God.
Woo! That was some good stuff. So that's what I heard on Sunday, and I just wanted to share it with you this morning because it blessed my soul. And wanted to remind you today, family. I stopped by the Love Journey to remind you, you got a gift. And the world is waiting on you to open it. And you know when you got a special gift, you know what that means. You got to open it. You can't tear into it. You got to open it just right. All right, family, any questions, comments, or concerns? If you're on Blog Talk Radio, press 1. If you are on the teleconference line, star 6. All right.
Good God morning.
Good God morning, Miss Rosa J. Doing it God's way.
Each and every day. That was amazing. That verse spoke on so many things. And when I was listening to him about the twins in your belly, it's almost as if with your siblings there can be all kinds of things going on. And then one day you wake up and you're on the same page. You know,
that's
and that's the way it works with family and with friends. It seems like if those people that you keep in your lives or that stay in your lives, one day you'll wake up and you're on the same page if you accept them. They learn to accept you. They'll call you crazy for believing in your dream, for striving for your place when you're younger in that walk. But then one day, they'll start recommending you. You know, my sister does such and such. And folks will call you. Your sister told me that you do da-da-da. I have da-da-da. I know that's what's happening to me.
Amen.
And I think it's all in our head as we are opening our gift and perfecting our gifts, we have to also heal and redirect our thinking about what we do. You know, in the beginning, you say, oh, people don't want to hear what I got to say. Okay, we start thinking about all the negative and not speaking all the positive. Like he started, when I came in, he was talking about God qualifies whatever. You don't have to be an expert. He makes you an expert. You know, he introduces this gift to you, and then you have to perfect it. You have to do some action. In the Bible, it says the same thing about Jesus Christ. He had to submit to become perfect. He didn't come here perfect like people think he did. He had to work through it just like us because he had to become comfortable in his human aspect and knowing that his spirit is leading him. I think that's a lesson that we have to all understand and profess and submit to. God qualifies us, but we have to perfect it. We have to do the work. we have to do the submission and the research and the lessons and all that. And then one day, people say, how did she get there? Who is this person? Like they asked Jesus, who are you?
Okay, babe. Thanks, Rosa J.
I love what you said. I love that. Thank you.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
How are you? I'm just
amazing.
Good morning. Absolutely amazing. Thank you, Rosa, for your comment. Janine, that was phenomenal. That really was. I never heard of this guy before, but how appropriate for me to hear this morning, something that I went to bed with, and he validated time and time again, and was so encouraging for me. You know, I've just been turned around since my Korea trip. And one of the things that I left with the thought was, because I was treated so royally, was that I found out what it feels like when people value you more than you value yourself. And I left there saying, you know what? I will not let anybody value me more than they value. So I've got to raise myself up. And I left with that determination that I know that I'm more than what I think I am. And in order for me to manifest it, it's important to feel that when you walk in among people of greatness. You got to not feel out of place. And I didn't feel out of place. And I want to thank you, because I realized that much of the teaching and much of what I was taught came from the Love Journey and encouraging me. And it's starting to manifest that way. I was at Nicole's, the Creating of Wealth. All of this that you're giving us is preparing us and preparing you for the opening, not fearing opening our gifts. And so I don't know how to spell this man's name, but I've got to hear him again, because this was exactly what I needed this morning to get up and to start walking in the light of my worthiness. So bless you. Thank you. And I am so grateful to God that I tuned in this morning, and knowing that God prepared the table through you. And I feasted this morning, and now my day brighter. Okay? Does that sound okay? So bless you.
Yes,
you.
Yes.
Okay, love you. Love you much.
Love you too, baby. Baby, all right. That was some good stuff. Thank you, Rosa. Thank you, Queen Mother Joyce Agar Ramza. Anybody else want to add their voice? Star 6 and press the 1-1 Blog Talk Radio. All right. 703, Ms. Linda Mitchell. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, family. Good morning, Lady Love.
Go, girl, girl.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I just wanted to piggyback off of what Rosa said. And I could so relate to what she was saying about mastering, you know, your purpose and doing the work and not, you know, allowing, you know, your immediate folks that are around you, your family, to, you know, discourage you or take you off your path. Just stay focused and stay steady on your path. You know, I just recently got married in June, and my husband's getting very used to, very quickly, my lifestyle, where, you know, I go to my day job and I work. But I come home and I really live in my passion, right? And so I'm on a plan, and I'm on a plan, and I've got to do the work to execute the plan and get there within a certain period of time. And so that requires me to go to my day job just for now. Got to do what I got to do, and at some point transition, because I've spent the time mastering right, mastering my craft in my evening hours. And so he's getting used to the fact that I come home, I eat dinner, and I go right back to it. I go right back to it. And my daughter, she's the same way. She learned how to do makeup, and she learned it all from YouTube University, just watching the videos and watching and practicing and implementing. And, you know, I saw her on Sunday. We got together for my other daughter's birthday, and I walked into the house, and she was watching a YouTube video on makeup. You know, one of the things that I know and I've learned in my life is I've got to keep my passion in front of me. I got to keep learning. I got to keep the wisdom. I got to keep the knowledge, the resources at my fingertips and keep growing myself, because it helps me to serve my clients better. It helps me to show up better as my best. So I just want to thank you for this word today. It was absolutely fantastically amazing. It blessed me so much, because what he talked about, sometimes it's not comfortable, right? Sometimes you got to sacrifice watching your favorite TV show. You got to sacrifice spending time with your honey. You got to sacrifice going to that movie because you're on purpose. So I just could so relate to what he was saying about staying steady and staying faithful and not allowing that discomfort to take you off track. So thank you, Rosa, so much for your comment. I could so relate to what you were saying. I appreciate it.
Yes, yes. All right, that's Linda Mitchell. She's working on trust. You want to make sure you go to the Journey of Greatness, sign up, and be a part of trust. Thank you, Linda. What spoke out to me was being the impatient part. You're being impatient will abort the mission. Woof. Good morning, good morning. 5141 is the last four of your phone number. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good God morning, Lady Loves. Peace and blessings to you. This is Jackie
Peace
from Maryland. Thank you so very much for this morning. It was so well needed for me. What I got from it was when he was speaking about looking at other people, you know, how you walk in the right path, how you trying to do the right thing, and then you look at your neighbor and you see that they're not going to church, they're not doing this, they're not doing that, but yet they are receiving what we see as to be a blessing. And, you know, and I'm looking at what I'm going through. I'm struggling with my daughter going through this and going through that. And I'm like, I'm trying to do the right thing. But then, you know, I'm in church, and I was truly blessed over the weekend because I was the worship leader at church, and I've been struggling. You know, I'm looking at what's going on in my life, and I'm like, I am a representation of the things that I do, and I'm a representation of my church. And I was ready to really walk away because I feel like I wasn't representing very well because of what's going on in my household. And I realized that I am truly being tested because I there's been many times I wanted to give up, but then I said, I cannot. It's not about you. You need to go beyond where you are at. Stop looking at where you are at right now and look at where God has positioned you already. Look at where, the platform that you have. And so after church service, a lady came to me and she said, oh, my God. She said, do you know how much you are blessing me as a worship leader? She said, do you know your power and your strength? She said, you need to see yourself. You need to hear yourself. And I'm thanking her for encouraging me. And also, these are the same words that I'm hearing from my Love Journey family as well. So, you know, I'm just really am thankful and I am grateful. And I'm going to continue to stand. I'm going to keep moving on. And I'm passing this test each and every day. I'm rising higher from where I was once at. You know, so I know I have to elevate more and get from off the ground from that snake and rise above from where I am at. So I truly do thank you for this recording. And can we get this recording from off of YouTube or something? How can we get this recording?
I downloaded it from iTunes. It's a Pastor Stephen Furtick. Elevation Church. He's not a. Yes. That's not.
I never heard of him until I heard him on Sunday. My daughter goes to Elevation Church, which is Pastor Stephen Furtick. He was a guest pastor there. So I just turned it on and listened to it, and wow, it was just amazing to me. I know his name is Pastor Keon from Houston, Texas, and I will look up his information and share it with you, but this was Pastor Stephen Furtick's church. And if anybody know Pastor Stephen Furtick, he's very progressive. He has 17 satellite churches. And I tell you,
wow,
it's an amazing event to be a part of Elevation Church. He has really taken God's love to another level in terms of how he reached the masses. I thought, wow, what a creative way that he does it. And so I actually was thinking yesterday, I said, you know, as a speaker, as a master speaker growing into my gift, I said I should call him. Not that I want to start a church or anything, but just, you know, thinking about how creative he is and how he thought of this idea to create these different satellite churches all over the world.
Absolutely amazing.
So that's, that
is.
Was Pastor Stephen Furtick. Mm-hmm.
Furtick with an F, or are you saying it with an F?
F-U-R-T-I-C-H, Elevation Church.
Elevation Church. Okay, thank you so very much. I love you, Lady Love. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome. Love you, too. All right. I just want to remind everybody, get your tickets. Wound Awakening is Saturday, and I tell you, we're going to have an amazing lineup recognizing our gifts through healing our wound of our mind, wound of our heart, and the wound of our womb. I want to remind you today that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice, family. And I want to remind you today that you truly are the gift. And remember, when we get impatient, what did he say? The very thing that we birth from our impatience will be the very thing that will fight our gifts. Come on, family. Open the gifts. Don't tear into it. Allow yourself to see yourself for the gift that you are and take your time and let it get crystal clear. All right, family, I see you in the morning. And hopefully I see you. Invite a friend. Come to the event on Saturday. It's going to be an amazing event. Powerful. Riveting, healing. Go to eventbrite.com and get your tickets today. Don't delay if you want to call me. I can only receive calls right now. My phone is black. I cannot dial out and I cannot see any text. So if you text me today, I can't see none. I'm waiting on the insurance to send me my new phone, and it should be here today or tomorrow. And then I can get back online with you. But until then, you just have to call me, and if I don't answer, call me again, because I can only answer from my earpiece. All right, family, I love you. This is Howard Hewitt right here on The Love Journey, crystal clear. Let your gift get crystal clear this morning. This is another Love Journey production with Janine and Ingram, your love experience.
Crystal clear. Yeah. please believe this truth. I'll be all I can for you, and you're the one for me, yeah. I know you've been hurt before, but the love you to know.